Lisa, getting back to Dr. Hoffman's practical question of nab-paclitaxel, and again, on the outside trying to look at all these things, we try to focus on risk-benefit and not cost issues, but George was part of a symposium we did at ASCO called Molecular Oncology 101, and we polled the audience and we said, if Bev were generic and basically inexpensive, how much more would you be using in your practice? And I think the median was about 3 to 5 times more. So it's kind of hard to separate out cost from pure traditional risk-benefit issues. But if you sort of look at NAB, how does it, you know, appear to you, and how much of an advantage, if any, either in terms of efficacy or side effects, you think it has over cremaford paclitaxel?
Well, you know, I think what we know right now is that there are several drugs that are better than Q3-week paclitaxel. I think any more granularity about which one is better and whether weekly paclitaxel, how that would stack up against nab-paclitaxel and would stack up, how exactly these are going to end up, I think is anybody's guess.
How about right now, practically? How do you see it? Alan, how do you see the risk benefits?
We're not using a lot of nab-paclitaxel based on the cost. And the occasional patient trying to cut nausea and vomiting and can't take steroids, say a severe diabetic, we're using it there, but it's an infrequent event.
Lisa?
Well, let's be very clear. I actually think that there are a number of patients for whom constantly needing to use steroids is a negative thing. So
yeah, why would anybody want to take steroids?
And the separate thing is there are many patients for whom weekly administration is not a very rational thing. We have patients travel a long way. So for a Q3-week administration, that's another good reason to use this drug.
But when you give weekly paclitaxel, the amount of steroids you give is not that high. Granted, a patient with diabetes, you can get trouble. But, I mean, you don't see Cushing's syndrome.
I live in North Carolina. We have a lot of
And you also tend, I mean, at least I personally have not seen steroid psychosis with someone who's getting weekly paclitaxel and a little bit.
I mean, am I not seeing this?
Maybe
correctly?
Bad luck.
Though if you actually sit down and ask patients, a lot of patients will tell you that they hate the steroids, that they will stay up all night after the steroids, cleaning their house 3 times.
Right.
But they make cookies. But I was going to say, if you really want to break the bank, nab-paclitaxel and bevacizumab is the way to do it.
Well, two really
expensive drugs put together. We're talking about way over $100,000 a year
so
to treat metastatic
breast
cancer.
Let me ask you, if same question about, we asked these people about Bev. If cremaford paclitaxel and nab-paclitaxel were the exact same cost, would you use any cremaford paclitaxel?
No.
Probably not.
Almost everybody I've asked that question to says no.
Right.
I think we look at cost differently when we're looking at the price to pay for an agent like trastuzumab or bevacizumab, for which there's no real great alternative compared to when we're choosing between a formulation of paclitaxel. I think back to when epirubicin was introduced into the U.S. market, how much or how little that was taken up, and the cost differential between doxorubicin and epirubicin was quite substantial. So cost is certainly an issue. I don't know how to place a value on the cost of avoiding these fairly scary and occasionally life-threatening hypersensitivity reactions that you see in the chemotherapy administration area. So for me, if I was the patient sitting in the chair or my loved one was, it's a no-brainer which agent I would want them to be getting.
So I'll approach it slightly differently. Actually, I'm going to approach it from a biologic standpoint, believe it or not. I think whenever a new class of agents comes along that has significant activity for any disease, you get the hugest increase in incremental benefit with the first agent that comes on the market, almost regardless of which one it is, and that everything above and beyond that probably represents very tiny incremental advances. And so, you know, for estrogen receptor, tamoxifen, huge improvement for ER-positive patients, AIs, modest improvement. HER2 disease, trastuzumab, huge improvement. Lapatinib, probably a little tiny improvement on that. I'm sure we'll see the same thing with anti-angiogenic agents, but it's absolutely got to be true with taxanes as well, that we can argue about whether or not the taxanes were a huge improvement. But the likelihood that nab-paclitaxel would improve things to the same extent that the initial addition of Taxol or Taxotere did, I would say, is almost impossible.